Yeah, so the Parsha, I would say it's a theme of Parsha Shmos. It's very tenuous connection. The mitzvah pruvu, and especially relates to choosing the gender of a child. So now in modern times, we have the possibility of using artificial reproductive technology. I'll just give one way to do this. You can have fertilized embryos and put them under a microscope and test which ones are males and which ones are females. And if somebody wants to have a boy, they could choose the boys. If they want to have a girl, they could choose the girls. So that technology exists. And so the question is, how does that relate to the mitzvah pruvu? And there are other issues related to this discussion. I'm just going to focus on the mitzvah pruvu. I thought of it as you read the beginning of the parasha where Paro says, "Kol ben ha'yora tashlichuhu," that Paro, obviously it's post birth. It's a very serious thing to choose gender based on that. It was done barbarically in earlier times. Paro was precedent to that. In China, you have this issue, not to such an extreme. So to preempt that, such technologies now exist where you can choose, and so I'd like to discuss that from the perspective of the mitzvah pruvu. And the reason why I'm bringing up pruvu is because a couple might argue, let's go for it. We already have five boys, let's say, and we want to have a girl, or vice versa. Should we go ahead with this technology to ensure that we can fulfill the mitzvah pruvu? So that's the question I wanted to discuss. Why is that specific to pruvu? Because the Mishnah says, "Lo yivat l'adam yipriyaviv yom ken yish lo banim." Beishamay om shnei zecharim. Beishamay says two males you can fulfill the mitzvah. Beishilal, which is the normative opinion, zachar unikeva, that you have to have one male and one female in order to fulfill the mitzvah of pruvu. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that even though you fulfill the mitzvah pruvu, you should not stop having children. This is a Gemara in two places. It's a mitzvah of Sheves, and then even if somebody, later in life is single, they should get married and have more children. Okay, fine. The question is, what is the nature of this mitzvah pruvu? Meaning, what's the idea of having a boy and a girl, how do you fulfill this mitzvah, seemingly? So the Gemara, in source 4, raises the following question. Parents have children. The mitzvah is really only on males, meaning a male has the chiv pruvu, a woman does not. The Meshech Chachmat says that that's because it's a mitzvah sheish bo tzar, that we can't force women to go through such thing. They naturally have. Otherwise, if they didn't have this natural inclination for it, it would be too hard of a mitzvah. And the Ran points out in the Siga Mitzvah Bo Yosemir Mishlucha that you see that women have a mitzvah to fulfill. It's a kiyum. They don't have a chiyuv. Okay? So somebody gives... somebody is the father of children, and Nebuch, they pass away. Rav Huna Amar Kiyim Priyaviya, Rav Yochanan Amar Lo Kiyim. So there's a machlokes, does he fulfill the mitzvah or not? And the Shulchan Aruch, writes basically that they do not fulfill the mitzvah, meaning if the children have children already, then yes, but if there's no children that are alive, so then you do not fulfill the mitzvah of pruvu. Okay, I'm just going to skip sources 6 and 7. Then the Gemara has another question. Itmar ha'ilo banim biyosa ove kolchavim v'nizgayer. So a person not Jewish has children. Moves on with his life, and now he converts. Children are still not Jewish, and he is now Jewish. So does he fulfill the mitzvah pruvu or not? So Rav Yochanan Amar Kiyim, Priya Urviya, Reish Lakish Amar Lo Kiyim. Okay? So what's this machlokas about, and what does this tell us about the nature of the mitzvah? And we paskin here that he does fulfill the mitzvah, meaning he had children when he wasn't Jewish, so he fulfills the mitzvah pruvu. So let's say I so you have a ger, and he converts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he already davened, said Kriya Shema. Does he have to say does he have to recite Kriya Shema again? The answer is yes, meaning he did the mitzvah as a non-Jew. He wasn't obligated in the mitzvah. Now he converted, so he has to fulfill the mitzvah again. So why is this different? He wasn't obligated. There's nobody's arguing here. The issue is not whether non-Jews are obligated in Puru. The issue is he had children as a non-Jew, and now he converted. So the Menchas Chinuch has a chiddush. And he says, you know, the mitzvah is having children. It's not to produce the children, it's having the children. That's what you have to say from these two sugyas. So therefore, if somebody has children and nevach, they pass away, so he doesn't have the children, kind of, not in his possession, but he's not the father. The mitzvah is to be the father of children. So he's not the father of children, so he does not fulfill the mitzvah. Same thing if somebody converts. The mitzvah is not to produce the children. The mitzvah is to be the father of children. So he converted. He's still the father of these children, leaving aside the issue of Gershon Iskayer, because that's what that's what the Gemara talks about. That do you apply Gershon Iskayer? That's in the Kudus and Machlokas. But we hold that it does not apply to this situation, meaning that if he converts, he still is the father of the child for these purposes, and he fulfilled the mitzvah. What happened to the fact that you can't fulfill a mitzvah when you're not obligated? That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not to produce a child. The mitzvah is to have, to be the father of the child, and he's the father of the child. Okay. Now, what's driving the Menchas Chinuch to this conclusion? Because it's not really in people's control. The whole idea is that you can't, the Gemara says that the maftechos of fertility are out of our hands, but certainly the mafteach, until recently, the mafteach of which gender the child is going to be is certainly out of our hands. So you have no control over that. So the mitzvah can't be to produce the children. The mitzvah is to be the father of these children. Okay, now I kind of led you into Rav Moshe's approach to this. The Menchas Chinuch is still difficult the way I presented it. Rav Moshe is a little bit more glatt. So Rav Moshe says, "What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not passive, meaning it's not it's not just to be the father of the child. The mitzvah is to try to have children. What's the whole idea of a son and a daughter? And what's the whole idea that if somebody has children, now they don't have children, or are they converted? The idea is that when you do have children, so that decides whether you're still obligated to fulfill the mitzvah pruvu or not. Meaning the mitzvah pruvu is to try to have children. You could try, somebody could try and nevach, they don't have children, they still fulfill the mitzvah pruvu. The question is, when do you have to stop fulfilling the mitzvah pruvu? So if somebody has a boy and a girl, then they can stop trying to fulfill the mitzvah of Puravu. But but it's not to say that somebody who was successful in producing a boy and a girl is any more in fulfillment of the mitzvah than somebody who didn't. Just that they have a patur, they have an exemption because they have the boy and the girl, and according to the Menchas Chinuch, not that way. So what comes out is that according to Rav Moshe, at least, If you use these artificial means to produce a child, so it's arguable that's not even the Maisa Mitzvah. The Maisa Mitzvah is the natural bia to try to produce a child. If you use the artificial, so maybe you can argue maybe not. But certainly you're not any more in fulfillment of the mitzvah by doing so. You may get a patur, meaning if somebody had, let's say, 11 boys, and then, okay, we got to stop already, but we didn't fulfill the mitzvah pruvu, so then, okay, this might be an argument to say, well, we're not doing it for the mitzvah pruvu, we're doing it for the patur of pruvu, but to say that choosing a boy over a girl in a laboratory is a fulfillment of the mitzvah is much more difficult to say. Now, there's another sugya, the sugya of Nisabra Bambati. So the Gemara in Chagiga brings this up. that there was this possibility in Talmudic times that a woman can become pregnant in the bathhouse because somebody, a male beforehand, left his seed in the bathhouse and she became pregnant. So, okay. The Rabbi Nachmanel there says that it's a nace, and he says nafgamina, whether you do a bris on Shabbos, he says that the English it's me'aleda, and that's a whole discussion. But the Meforshim on Shulchan Aruch bring up the following question. So, if somebody went through this situation, does the father who just left his zera there fulfill the mitzvah pruvu or not? So he leaves it as a question. The Beis Shmuel says that you can bring a raya from another sugya. There's a psak coming from Beinu Peretz that a woman should not sleep on sheets that were not cleaned, and another man slept on it because maybe she'll become pregnant from the zera that was left on there, and then she's going to have a kid, and nobody's going to know who the father is, and then that kid is going to end up marrying a sibling because we don't know who the father is. Okay, so what do you see? That the guy who left the zera there is the father of that child. So you see that he's miyuchas to the child, even though it was done through this odd way.
Why don't we say mitzvah tzrichos kavana?
Okay, you could argue that. The Taz says a similar thing, that you want to tell me he's the father of a child, that could be only, I'm sorry, it's so small, that can only be as a matter of chumrah, meaning we're going to be choshesh that the father who left the zera is the father of a child. So, yeah, we have to be concerned that he's going to marry a sister. But to say that he fulfills the mitzvah pruvu, so that, you know, I don't know if we're going to go that far. So Rav Moshe says that you could argue that when it's done intentionally, it's better, meaning that maybe even the Taz would agree. This is before, meaning this paragraph in Surah 16 appears before the paragraph. It's the same tshuva. It appears before the paragraph, paragraph in Surah 11. So meaning he says, yeah, you could argue that artificial insemination does fulfill the mitzvah puravu, according to the Beis Shmuel and according to the Taz, but I'll tell you why it doesn't, because of my other vort that's not what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is to try is maisabia. So that's another angle to think about in this question. You know, maybe if you hold like the Taz without Rav Moshe's qualification, then maybe you wouldn't even get the mitzvah puravu. Shlomo Zalman also points out that you don't have to go to crazy extremes to fulfill the mitzvah of puravu or any mitzvah for that matter, but certainly when this involves, you know, medically, a lot of pain and suffering, and a lot, you know, so if the only way to fulfill the mitzvah puravu, or in your mind, the only way to meaning you can have children naturally, you just keep having the same gender and you worry that this is going to go on forever. So Shlomo Zalman says that, you know, puravu shouldn't be a cheshbon in this. You want to have children, so you can use this means, but it's not, certainly from a chiyuv perspective, it wouldn't be a chiyuv to go through extraordinary means just to fulfill the mitzvah of puravu.
Then what is the mitzvah?
I'm not sure if he's, because he's addressing from whether there's a chiyuv for a person to undergo fertility treatment. So, so he's saying, don't look at it from the mitzvah puravu. Look at it, you know, if you want to do it, so do it. But the fact that you have a mitzvah, dafka mitzvah to fill puravu, so that wouldn't be all of a cheshman. Right, he's not talking about, right. Right, yeah.
So when does the mitzvah actually completed? Is it when your children have children? Or is it when you're...
No, maybe you just send it as an MP3.